Welcome to the Inner Revolution Show, where we take a journey within to uncover the inner resources deep within our soul to transform physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. It is through this higher sense of knowing we are able to design and live our lives with purpose, compassion, and for the collective consciousness. Are you ready to start your own inner revolution? Come with me. Welcome to the Inner Revolution Show, everyone. I am your host, Dr. Renee, and welcome back for another amazing week. I know we are still in the midst of this crisis and this pandemic, and as I promise you every week, I am bringing you amazing, exceptional, inspiring, motivational, and just overall beautiful souls on this show to keep us all in a great mindset, reminding us of the importance of mind-body-spirit alignment and really providing techniques on how to cope, manage stress, find our purpose, and continue to be positive. And our guest today is going to truly be an angel for us that's going to tell us how she got through some of her most incredible moments in her life. She is quite inspiring and a beautiful soul that I follow. And who am I talking about? I am talking about, and I'm just going to call her Stina. And when she comes on the show, we're going to challenge my ability to say her last name, but I'm not going to butcher it right now because she's too beautiful to do that. So we'll do this in a second. But Stina is living in Norway with her beautiful husband and amazing two children. If you haven't seen them on Instagram, they are such a beautiful family. And she was a prison officer and worked there for almost 14 years. She challenged them to really learn how to reshape and change their addictive behaviors. She teaches courses in motivational interviewing for professionals in the healthcare system as well. And she's really leading an exceptional charge in the world to change our mindset. And she teaches things in self-esteem, yoga, and all sorts of things. She's done everything, but unfortunately, she experienced a head and neck injury that really affected a lot of different aspects of her life. And she wasn't able to continue on in her career, and she had to leave a job that she loved, which has led her to this space and time to really have to learn how to overcome things. And if there's anyone who is the definition of resilience, I would say it is Stina. So let me go ahead and get her on the show. Hi, Stina, how are you?
Hi, Renee, thank you. I'm fine, I am.
And I panicked with your last name. I just absolutely panicked. I didn't want to ruin it. So let's say it together. Say it for me one more time. Yeah.
Jørgensen.
Okay, so Stina Jørgensen. Is that right?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, you did it. That's amazing.
So thank you, beautiful soul. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah, and thank you, Renee, for everything you do and the beautiful person you are. You're changing so many people's lives. And I love your podcast and everything you share. Thank you.
And I feel exactly the same about you. Your posts are just a breath of fresh air, and they are always these beautiful pictures. Do you take all of those pictures? I feel like you do.
Yeah, mostly I do. I do. Yeah. I love being outdoors. You can see, you can tell.
Yeah. And your videos on mindfulness and meditation and grounding and being with nature have really been a source of inspiration for me during this pandemic. So thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you.
So can you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and really what sort of led you to this space and time, particularly, you know, after experiencing that injury, how did your life really change and lead you to this point?
I had two small children, and we did almost not have any family. I had a tough upbringing with violence and abuse of alcohol from my parents. And so me and my husband were a lot alone. You know, his family is in Denmark. And so I was struggling, Renee, you know, experiencing this injury. And having two small children, I always felt I had to pull myself together. And you know, trying to overcome the challenges alone is very hard. So I needed to get into counseling. I went to a psychologist, and I actually, because when I share my recovery story, I use the, you know, show a picture of my life areas and how they were affected due to my injury, because work was so important to me. Yeah. And because of my upbringing, especially, I felt that as a prison officer, I was actually questioning myself when I became a prison officer. I was only 22. Oh. Can I do this work when I have experienced so much myself, traumas? It kind of, after my high school, I went into the military. Mm. And I was teaching in first aid, and I actually wanted to become a nurse. So when I was finished with the military, I came home and I got work in the local prison in the town where we live. I loved it so much that I actually applied for the college today, University of the Norwegian Correction Services.
Oh, wow.
And I worked as a prison officer and got so many great opportunities, you know, teaching inmates in the cognitive therapy program that we have. And I loved it. And later on, motivational interviewing.
Sounds like such an incredible career. I mean, one that you don't expect, you know, but I'm sure when you say I worked in a prison, you get those looks, right? I had done some work in prison systems when I was doing my PhD for some of my research. And so I had the ability to go in and interview, and then I actually got asked to teach a course. And I remember just being like, oh my gosh, you know, you don't know, because you have such a stereotypical idea of what a prison system looks like. But there's a spectrum, right? I mean, people are all sorts of different places and different offenses and different circumstances. And I absolutely fell in love with the group that I was working with. And became so alive when they were telling their stories, and you felt so much empathy for how one can end up like that, because we can be so judgmental, right, of people, and yet we know tiny, tiny bit of their life. And it's amazing. So it sounds like it was such an incredible opportunity. And I can't imagine, because this is really timely, right now, how many billions of people in the world are without work right now, and losing their job. Maybe they'll get it back, maybe they won't. So how did you handle that when you had to walk away from a job that you loved? I mean, outside of the counseling perspective, what were some things that you did to try to help you get through that?
Well, as I told you, I went to therapy, to a psychologist. And I actually, because it was so tough, you know, it was a grieving process for me.
I imagine.
So, So I actually went on antidepressant. What do you call it?
Antidepressant medication.
For 2 years. And I didn't like taking medication.
Yeah.
My body didn't like it. I didn't react well to it. Yes. So after a couple of years, I told my therapist I wanted to stop taking them. Mm-hmm. And I slowly did. And instead, I started doing medical yoga.
Oh, so this is where you found it.
Yes, it is. It's always, isn't that? It's always a story behind why we choose what we do. I experienced more pain, but I had this great yoga teacher. And she was like, she asked me, how does your pain feel? And I explained it to her, and she just supported me, really. And I remember the first time I did, you know, this long, deep breath. We were laying on the back on our mat, and I was experiencing pain in my chest. And then I realized, I haven't been breathing for 4 years.
Yes.
Or something. And that's when I kind of just began to realize how much our breath means to our health.
Yes. Yeah.
And I've been using it ever since. And I also remember, I think we were about 20, 30 participants at this yoga teacher program. And we were doing this heart meditation.
Oh.
And I was just, And I was just open to it. And little did I know how powerful it was. I was crying and crying and crying.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have not tried hot yoga yet. I was a little afraid because, you know, I know, and we'll talk about this in a minute. You and I also have a lot in common with our health conditions. And, you know, I have a lot of inflammation and my body does respond really well to heat. But sometimes the summer months, I tend to feel a little bit worse because of the heat. So I was a little unsure. And I did try like the mini cryotherapy type things. But I didn't like that. You know, a lot of people love that, but I found that to be really painful. And so I might try it when we get out of this pandemic now that you're saying that you had this emotionally cathartic experience. Can you talk about that?
I think it's about healing. I mean, medical yoga, you know, comes from Kundalini yoga. And we, of course, working with the breath, but also do you say chakra? It's chakra.
You know,
someone says chakra.
Chakra. Yeah, it's like potato, potato. You can say it however you want to.
So we work, you know, and Kundalini yoga, it's about the spine.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, the breath and working with these slow, beautiful yoga exercises are so calming. And there's done some amazing research on how it helped, you know, reduce pain. And of course, stress.
I love that you bring this up. It has been, you know, for me, I've really been studying the breath for several years. And, you know, when I was fortunate to go over to India and really, you know, be in the presence of that experience of real yoga. You know, those kinds of things is just incredible to see, you know. I didn't get to do too much personally, but just to be able to be in the culture of a place where this originates from. And everyone is so peaceful and so calm. And, you know, everything can be worked through by just being still, breathing, right? Staying centered. And you're right. My last guest actually was talking about this, that she realized that she had not been breathing and her body was not metabolizing food and nutrients. And she was holding pain in so many parts of her body. Now, last year, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis. My mother and her sister also have it. And, you know, chronic fatigue, as I know you also have been diagnosed with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. And I really, through my own research, have found a huge correlation and connection to an over-exacerbation of stress, anxiety, depression. The more one had of that, the more years that they had carried a clinical diagnosis of anxiety, depression, or fatigue, were more likely to be identified with fibromyalgia or RA. Sometimes lupus too, right? So so it's been interesting. Have you found that in your breath work and the things that you're doing now, you've been able to control your pain?
You know, 14th of December last year, I began in a course, the Wim Hof Method. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not.
No. It's a man from the Netherlands that he has a really interesting story, and you can search him up and read more. But what it's all about is doing these series of deep breathing, a really intense deep breathing. And then you do some, of course, meditation, and you expose yourself for cold showers or in the ocean, you know, cold water. And had so much more energy after doing that. Everything that a lot of the practices in the East, I really love them, you know, because mindfulness, Qigong, there's so much wisdom. I'm the kind of person that had this journey, you know, working with the mind, with teaching and of course doing all those techniques mentally. It was like, that was good, but it was not enough, Renee. So when I experienced the head and neck injury, and sometimes I ask myself, did it happen for a reason? Was it a wake-up call?
Yeah.
Like I feel it was.
Yeah.
I mean, actually how it was, you know, I felt like my head was attached to my body. And the accident was the opportunity for me to connect the mind and the body.
Mm.
So that's why mindfulness and yoga is so important for me, you know, to connect myself with my body.
Yes, I love that you're bringing this up because this has been a really important element for me in 2020 when I moved into this year. At the beginning of the year, I said that my theme was going to be full integration, meaning integration of everything, mind, body, spirit, connection, complete. Because every couple of years I was working on one thing. So years ago, I went through therapy because I had a lot of psychosocial things. And then I moved into, you know, really being physically active. And I was, you know, competing for, you know, an Arnold Classic. I was lifting weights. I was your, you know, CrossFit athlete kind of thing. And, you know, looking the part. But yet my head was still unconnected or disconnected, excuse me. And then spiritually I realized I was going through this really profound awakening and my body started to act out and reacted in a lot of pain. And I had just gotten through melanoma cancer and some other things at that point. And, you know, I just said to myself, what is going on? But you hit the head right on, or the nail on the head in that idea that nothing was connected. I was walking around like three individual blobs and parts, right, that were floating near each other, but we're never talking to each other ever. So how did you finally come to that realization and what did you do?
Well, you know, first I had the mind, super, okay. And then I connected the body. And I will say the last year I began, you know, I always believed in something bigger. As I was a young girl, I used to pray when there was war and arguments home, you know. So I was very, I was very connected to nature.
Yeah,
really, as a child I was. And then for many years I was disconnected from nature.
Yeah.
And the last years I've came back to nature. And the last year I've done more deep meditation. I've been praying. I've been, you know, digging into people that inspire me, spiritual teachers.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Wayne Dyer, Liesl Hay.
God rest their souls. I know. Yes. I was like, when they left this planet, we felt the ripple, right? And I know.
And the Dalai Lama, and
Yes.
So and that changed a lot also to connect the spiritual. You know, getting more connected to my higher self. I needed that to heal. I really did.
Yeah.
And being in nature, there's wisdom.
There is. And I too have struggled with my connection to nature, where when I was really young, there wasn't a picture of me that I wasn't outside. And it blizzard out in the snow. There I was with my dog making holes in the, igloos in the snow. And then spring would come and I was out doing cartwheels in the grass and I was in the pool and I was here and I was there. But there's this huge part of my life, my 20s into my 30s, where I don't even think I left the house to go anywhere but to like work or this or that. And I really missed many summers. And then when I had my diagnosis of melanoma cancer, I became petrified to go out into the sun after that. I became really, really afraid. And so I started to have this really kind of counterproductive relationship with outside. And in the last couple of years, I have challenged that. I've really worked through that to get back out. And then this year happened and we had no choice. That's all we have, right? Because we don't want to be in our house. And it's been beautiful to be reconnected again. And I think, Mother Earth is sort of saying to us all, I need you to come back to me as my children. I need you all to pay attention and wake up and hear me. And we are hearing her, you know?
Yeah, and especially these times, you know, we're fortunate in Norway because we can still be outside, you know, having distance.
Yes.
But it's so incredible because I meet people, they are getting outside and they are smiling. And I met a mother here with a child and we got eye contact. Yeah. It was amazing. And we exchanged smiles. Like, there's so much in a smile. And I had this funny experience because I was seeing a squirrel in the tree. And he looked confused. It was like he was like, what is all these people doing here? But, you know, coming outside, feeling the sun and listening to the birds and the waves, it's so calming. It is.
Yeah, absolutely. And your gallery takes us all there on Instagram. Whether we are in Norway or not, I feel like I'm there. And you do your videos outside and then also the work with your children, which I really want to highlight because, as you know, I'm very passionate about that as well. And my son particularly has been studying Qigong with me. And my daughter, you know, is definitely a lover of yoga. And, you know, it's been really amazing to see them wanting to do this with me and being okay with participating. We're out on the front lawn and we're just doing this thing, you know, and connecting. Mm. And so I saw you do a video with your children as well as some of the things that you've done. So can you talk to our listeners a little bit about some of the programs that you've done with children and what maybe some of our parents who are all cooped up with their kids can do?
Well, when it comes to, you know, I've had some courses for children in yoga, and it is amazing. There's so, I mean, children are, it comes more easy to them, know. And with the children, I had boys who were 4 years old, and we do those mantra songs, and they love it. You know, it's playful.
Yeah,
it has to be playful. Because I did the mistake when I became a yoga teacher for children. I ran home and I set my children to do 1 hour.
Oh,
no, but I'm just joking a little bit. But, you know, when we want so much for our children.
Right.
But it has to be playful. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually, in the beginning, my children, you can't force it to anyone.
Right.
You know, it's actually being the example yourself. So, but we do simple, small things like breathing, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing to connect with your children. And for me, we do it outdoors as much as we can.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
And they think it's funny to, and they do, they're very into sports. So they like to, you know, stand for long can we stand and balance, and and the funny thing is that my son, he's in this school of sports, and they do a lot of those yoga positions, you know, but it's not cold, it's called stretching. But you just take the breath and you become aware, and it's yoga.
I know, isn't it? It's so much fun. And I love that you said that. Like, we cannot expect little ones to sit there and be able to focus in, you know, this one unitary pose for 15, 20 minutes because they want to move. And that's why I love Qigong so much, because the movement meditations, I think, really, you know, I was a very high-strung kid as well. Lots of anxiety and emotions and if someone talks to me too much or, you know, expects me to sit still, I start to get frantic. I'm like, oh, you know, I would buzz around. And when I found Qigong, probably about, I think it was 6 years ago now. And I was like, wow, why did I never, ever learn about this before? And I'm so glad that schools are doing better with this. And I hope that after the pandemic, we'll see more programs in schools. You know, really blossoming up all around the world.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And me too. And mindfulness, there's done a lot of research on how incredible beneficial it is to do mindfulness for kids in schools.
Yeah.
You know, Dalai Lama said, if every 8-year-old in the world is taught meditation, we will eliminate violence from the world within a generation.
Yeah.
That's wisdom.
Yes, I agree. And it doesn't take much. That's the thing. It doesn't take much. It just takes our time. And now I think we're in a place in this pandemic where we're recognizing we always had time. We just chose to fill it with all the things that weren't the most important. And I think as people are in resistance right now, because we're now a month, as of Monday, we'll be 30 days in quarantine in my location. And we still probably have another month to go, I would imagine, you know, being honest, that people are starting to get a little twitchy. And
I know.
Yeah. They're getting impatient and I got to get back to work and I've got to do this. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't know how to tell you this, but the more you resist this, the harder I think it's going to be that, you know, we're really being asked to look at things differently right now. What do you feel about all of that?
Well, I feel that it's like the more we resist, the more it persists.
Yeah.
So just trying to allow, you know, lower our expectations and, you know, being more just doing something joyful with our children and not expecting too much and actually seeing every expression of emotion as kind of normal because this is new to all of us.
Yes.
And it's kind of a beautiful way to connect and learn each other, you know, be together and use that time. Many of us, you know, wish we had more time. Now we have it.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many things I thought I would have done by now, you know, 30 days in, and I'm still looking at a pile of papers right next to me here that I've not filed. You know, I've done nothing with them. But I said to myself the other day in a very forgiving voice, but what have you done? You've done a lot with your kids. You've rested. You have learned to cook again and eat at home. You have, you know, really just taken the time to focus and center on people who are growing in the same direction you are. And it became a lot easier for me to look at that pile, and I have another one downstairs too, and go, I'll get there, you know? And I see people on social media right now pushing personal development. You better not waste your time. Oh my God, you better get into a program. You better lose that weight. You're going to have to do this. And I don't know about others, but that pushes me back a little bit. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree. There are so many males. And, you know, I hope that, you know, to make choices from a place of fear, it won't serve you.
Yeah.
Really. So try to, if you have fear, okay, it's okay. Just be aware of it and take a pause and just go back and go within. I have made this quote once. I said, if you love, reach out. If you don't, go within. Take the time to breathe and connect with yourself, you know, because there's so much noise. And I you know, Renee, I think if we should learn anything from this, isn't it what we would do different? Ask ourselves, who do I want to be in this moment? Who do I want to become in the future? What would I do differently?
I love that. Oh my goodness. I think we found the title of our show right there. Yeah, because you have been asked that so many times now in your life where you have thought you were doing one thing, thought you were being in one thing, and from your injury to the chronic illnesses to the pain to having to reconceptualize, you have been asked to redefine who you are. And
we all are, Renee, because I think when we have time, we begin to notice how we feel. And most of us, a lot of us, have experienced trauma. And now we're beginning to get up. We're getting all those emotions that we've been suppressing. And now but it's not a bad thing. I don't think it needs to be a bad thing. It's like, It's an emotional detoxing.
It is, isn't it? It's like, wow, the stuff that's coming up.
And I've been crying a lot, but it's okay. But I see it. So it's something I need to let go of, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to say to the listener. Don't cry, please. I mean, think about it. It's like the salty tears is cleaning. It's cleaning your skin, and it's cleaning your body, your soul, your mind. I think it's something we need to let go of. You know, I love, I think I heard it from Wayne Dyer, be open to everything and attached to nothing.
Yes.
What do you need to let go of that you've been caring for, I mean, maybe from childhood?
Yeah.
I needed to mirror and face a lot because I loved self-development. What kind of patterns, so you know, thinking and behavior patterns, do I need to change?
Yeah.
So I've used a lot of time to reflect on who do I want to become, you know.
I love it. I do. I was trying not to get lost in some of the sadness because, you know, again, you know, I look and see people who are with their spouses and I go, I'm not with my partner. And, you know, I'm with my children, but I'm not with my partner. And, you know, it's very sad because we don't know, right? We don't know when we'll be back together. But as I did a post yesterday, I know you saw it. And I said, let's think about the future in this moment. I'm not a huge person who likes to jump too far in the future because it causes a lot of stress for me as well. But to be able to create these moments, you know, what will it be like when you reunite with the ones that you're away from right now? And my son's birthday is on Monday. And of course, he's going to be in quarantine, right?
Yeah.
And he's only going to be 9. And, you know, this is not how I wanted this year to be. But, you know, I told him, I said, let's think about, you know, all the things you're going to do once we're out of here and the first friend that you'll want to be with and those kinds of things. And so I love that you bring this up because it's so inspiring that think about who you want to be. And it's never too late. You know, it's never too late to recreate and start again, right? Mm-hmm.
It also helped me a lot to always think that there are, when I've been having bad, you know, experience difficulties, I've always tried to remind myself that there is always someone who's suffering. More than I. It's not to get rid of my emotions, but really to get some perspective. And I want to, if I may, I want to share something with you.
Of course.
It's something that came to me. I call it the 3 C's. Now we all have an ego, okay?
Yes.
And sometimes it tells us stories that doesn't make us feel good, right?
Yes, my ego can be very bullying at times. Yes,
mine too. So we don't want to let the ego run our lives. We want to be aware of it. And we know that if we try to chase it or fight it or ignore it, it will only be like a child who doesn't feel seen or heard, screaming for our attention, right?
Yes.
So we want to observe it, be aware of it with, and this comes from mindfulness, without judging, because we are not our thoughts. We're having them. So what does the ego often do? And here comes the 3 C's. The ego often complains, it compares, it competes, which make us literally feel disconnected from others and even ourselves.
Yes.
But here's the thing, we can change those 3 C's. And here comes the other 3 C's that we can practice, which is care, compassion, and connection. And the reason why I'm mentioning this, Renee, is that being part of a community is really important. And it is important for us to feel a sense of meaning, belonging, to have and maintain a good mental health, right?
Right.
But this is something I've learned. Not all communities are serving us, are good for us, you know. I know you posted something about letting, But take me for an example, Renee. I was a pleaser. I only focused on giving. And this made some people take me for granted. They didn't respect me. And no matter how painful that was, I had to take full responsibility. Now, I could have judged, I could have complained, but luckily I chose to be honest about how I felt. I was sad, I was disappointed, frustrated, you know, and I allowed myself to feel it all. And then I turned around, I leaned into compassion, you know, self-compassion, cared for myself, and I learned to love myself. And that took some time.
Yes.
It didn't happen overnight, but with time, I slowly but surely, I started to, number one, this is important, I found my own truth, my inner voice, and I started, number two, to share it, even though it was scary. I did it, for example, in Instagram, I mean, and guess what happened? I started to connecting with amazing people, and you are one of them.
And this is so beautiful, because I have been such a proponent for returning back to the basics of our human virtues, compassion and peace and joy and love and wisdom and all these types of things. And I think what you said, the three C's are so true, but can be shifted, right? Can be shifted into something much more delicate and gentle, which is what the inner revolution is all about. I always say to people, it sounds like the word revolt sounds heavy, but this is a gentle revolution. This is a self-revolution where we're choosing our own path. And you hit that so beautifully in that description right there. Now, I would say, I'm sure all our listeners, and I challenge you guys on the radio page here, if you are connected through Facebook, you can also go to the radio page on blogtalkradio.com/innerrevolution and comment below which of those three C's of your ego might have been the most profound. I think for mine, the comparison.
Yeah, me too.
You see people doing well and you're like, well, why can't I do that? Or, you know, why is that happening that way? And, you know, I felt for many years that I wasn't good enough, or maybe this wasn't the right thing. My ego would always say this, oh, it's time to pack it up. It's time to pack it up. And I'm like, no, I'm not packing it up anymore. I've always packed it up, you know? So yeah. So I'm so thankful that you shared that with us.
Yeah, thank you. And it's really, it's not about, you know, it's about learning to be more self-aware and to get to know yourself. We need to face everything in order to grow, in order to develop and to let go of what doesn't serve us or anyone else.
Yes.
So it's about the relationship we have to ourselves and then to others.
I love that. And so let's say to all those bullies out there right now on social media who are pushing people to have to do something, to not waste their time, to hurry up and involve in something, focus on your own self right now. Leave them be in their own peace. Let them heal as they need to and not as you wish. I actually just posted that today in a story. And I said, you let them, you'll see, I talked about compassionate listening and really take a moment instead of talking and telling everyone what to do, listen. And that sounds like what you're mentioning for us to really be able to reflect upon. So thank you.
Now, listening is one of the most important communication skills.
Everything.
It is.
I was so horrible at it for the longest time because I was a teacher. I always talked. I always, you know, had to espouse information, and then the spiritual climb showed me that the greatest teachers are often the quietest, the ones who give more room and space for the student to do more of the shaping and the shifting, while we just aren't there.
Yeah, I've been working a lot with my own listening skills. for sure, especially with my kids.
Oh yeah, it's not perfect, right? It's a daily process for sure. So now I know we're getting to the end of the show, and I hate this place. I say this every show. I hate it because I don't want you guys to leave. It's so fantastic to have you here. So can you just take a moment? My last question is called The Footprint in the Sand, which I know you've heard because you're such a devoted listener to this show. Thank you. And this is where we talk about the imprint, the legacy that you really hope to have in the world. So so looking forward at the end of your life, which is many, many decades off, I know, and you're looking back upon the work that you've done, what do you hope to have left for the world?
Well, Renee, I hope I will show up and share my truth, be my true self, and invite and encourage others to be their true self. Because I hope my job is to create a safe environment where people feel secure and loved so that they can explore and connect with their true divine self.
So beautiful. As you are, my sweet soul sister, thank you so much for being here in the Inner Revolution today.
Thank you so much, Renee, for having me.
And can you let our listeners know how they can find you? We'll have all this on our radio note page, but just to communicate that with everyone right now.
Yeah, well, the easiest way is to find me, of course, on Instagram, Mental Support Stina. And you can also reach me on my phone, 00 47 41 25 87 05.
And we will have this all on our radio page because I know you're going to want to reach out and connect with this beautiful soul. So Stina, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, and take care.
You too. Stay safe, stay happy and bright. Keep enjoying that time with the kids. And everyone here, as your host, Dr. Renee, for The Inner Revolution, thank you again for joining us and continuing to help this show thrive week in and week out. And I know we have some faithful listeners in Norway, so hopefully this show will reach them and they'll be able to experience this beautiful soul. So thank you, everyone, and we will see you again next week. Thank you for listening to The Inner Revolution with Dr. Renee. Tune in again next week for another fabulous episode. You can reach out to me on Instagram at dr.reneemoudre, or you can check out my website at www.transcendentheart.com. Talk to you again soon.